I'm not just heretical. I was fooling around today and I was looking over these scriptures and preparing this message while you're turning to Psalm 119:71. I started looking at, I'm one of these people, I don't think God makes any mistakes. You know, I don't think He makes mistakes in His scripture. I don't think He makes any mistakes by putting things in the Word of God to kind of make you go, wow, God's pretty detailed, right? I mean, if you really get to studying everything out, science and mathematics and everything, you understand He's a detailed God anyway. But I got to thinking about it. Every time Moses went up to see God, he took Joshua with him. Do you know that? Those are two reference verses, Exodus 24:13 and Exodus 17:12. And I thought it was neat that when he went up there and he seen God, Yahshua was with him. That's the same name Joshua is. That's the same name Jesus. So the whole time God's giving the law to Moses, there's a guy named Yahshua standing there. God, come on, man. And that same Yahshua, Joshua, representing Christ, one day in a battle, Moses had to hold his arms up or the battle would be lost. Yahshua, gets up underneath him and holds his hands out like a man hanging on a cross. Stuff like that just kind of, that kind of gets me. It kind of stirs up in me, right? And I'll give you one more. I ain't going to go all the way over there. I just want you to thought it was really neat that that same Joshua, where Moses couldn't take him into the promised land, takes him into the promised land. Amen? Law can only get him so far. But it couldn't get him in. Ain't that neat? I mean, you just go study it out for yourself. When they came down with the Ten Commandments and they had, you know, got the false idol. Aaron had got, told them to bring all their gold and then they made a calf. You know, he was with him then too. That's just too much for me sometimes. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get into work? Let's get into work. Psalms 119:71. That was bonus preaching. Don't count it towards my time. Amen. Y'all are a tough crowd tonight. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I'll read it again. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, overthrown, defeated, humbled. Amen? It is good for me that I've been overthrown, defeated, and humbled, that I might learn thy statutes. Statutes. I started looking at that word. Learn your sovereignty. Learn your power. Get that? See, you don't even know who God really is until you've really had to go through affliction. Till you've really been in trouble and everybody else has left you and everything else has forsaken you and there is no help for you. You find out how sovereign, how powerful, how much authority God has. Can I give you another verse? I will. Amen. Zephaniah. Y'all will not find this really quickly. Zephaniah 3:12. And I hear pages and minds turning. I know I'm going somewhere. Can y'all bear with me? I'm giving y'all more verses than I normally do in more places. But I know how I am. I marked them before I came. So I had a head start. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. This is in our daily reading right now. And I just thought how neat God was to tie this in on my daily reading with the message. Zephaniah is the coming of the Lord prophet. I didn't know that until I started studying Zephaniah. He's always talking about the coming of the Lord, and he always ties in the second coming of Jesus Christ and the first coming. I mean, I didn't know that, but he did. He was always talking to Judah on how wicked they had been, but he is always foreshadowing the second coming of Christ. Sorry, I'm just dropping knowledge bombs on you all over the place right now, right? Are y'all drinking from a fire hydrant? You're like, no, you're talking too much, giving too much information. Well, this is how I feel when I'm talking to the Lord, so it's okay with me. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. I'll break it down for you. What he was saying is, when I've removed Israel, I'm going to remove Judah, and nobody's going to be left but the afflicted and the poor. God. Whew, that's big, man. The afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. God, never. Do y'all get that? I don't want to wear you out and keep you right there, but do you get that? When we're afflicted and we're poor, and people think they're going under, they're at the bottom. That we're not. We're not. That's when we get to see the sovereignty of God. That's when we get to see the statutes of God. I hate to tell you this. It's bad news. I'm not preaching like this ain't bubble gum and cotton candy tonight. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time in everybody's life, if you've not already faced it, you're going to come to a place in your life when you're going to be afflicted. You're going to be overthrown. Your mind is going to be overthrown. You're going to be defeated. Now, I'm not talking about God. So I thought, God, help me, give me an explanation of this. And he said, go to Genesis 37, 27. Genesis 37, 27 through 28. I'm going to go back and preach some, if you don't mind, to kind of give us some context. Is that all right? Before I get there. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. Y'all remember, hold your place at 27 and 28. I'll be there sometime tonight. These are generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. How old? Okay, I thought so. Was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his sons Bilhah and with the son of Zilpha and his father's wife, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. I've been in church, I know for a fact, since 2004. And before that, I was raised in church. I was raised in church, but I wasn't part of it. Amen? And I got out of it for a long time. Out of church. Because we never got in. But I want you to hear this. Joseph is characterized in the Bible, in my opinion, wrong by most people who say that. Woo! Y'all ready to leave? Let's go. Because I just made a big statement. Most people make it seem like Joseph is doing something wrong when I never see God correct Joseph. You understand what I'm saying? He never corrects Joseph. You never see in the scriptures where he says something and God said, well, Joseph should have never. He doesn't. But I want you to get the understanding of this. Sometimes when it's really important, I'm a preachable sidebar here. If you're a leader here, or you ever want to be a pastor, preacher, or counselor, or Bible school teacher, or whatever, I'm going to make a little reference right here, and I hope you can deal with it. But I'm going to tell you something. She
were Joseph's livelihood. Jacob was a shepherd in the desert. Some of y'all need to write this down in context. Sheep are important. If you're living in the desert and all you do is raise sheep, they're your food source. They're your clothing source. They're everything. They are your life. Are y'all tracking with me? So when somebody starts messing with the sheep, I kind of understand God. I can kind of understand why God chose him. Because it ticked him off when somebody messing with the sheep, even when he said to me, hallelujah. I love when a young person gets ticked off by godly stuff. It's a very good one. Even boys, they're not watching the sheep. They don't watch the wolves come in, the lions come in, some thief will take them, and we won't have anything to eat, we won't have any clothes to wear, and this is wrong. I'm going to take it right to the authority. I'm taking it right to Dad. I wish more Christians would do that, take it straight to Dad, instead of taking it to everybody else.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to preach right here, I'm going to try to help some of you in the leadership role. I can't stand it when ministers wear out sheep. I don't like preachers who get together with other preachers and talk about how the sheep are. You know, sheep, sheep. You know, I always want to say this. It's what we do. It's what we do. It's who we are. You don't like sheep? Don't be a shepherd. Because if you're going to be a shepherd, you're going to smell like, talk like, walk like, spend most of your time with the sheep.
Yeah. Some people, you listen to them and they're talking and you're just like, that's the people you're supposed to be ministering to. I do this everywhere, but I'm going to tell you right now, I love my church. And when somebody starts talking about, and they want me to come back with, you know what I say? My church is great. I love it. I don't ever have a day where I'm saying, man, I wish I wasn't a pastor up there. I think, golly, I must be the luckiest man on the face of the planet because I get to do what I get to do. And even when I have to fake it. Huh? Because I don't know what that sheep's going through. Amen? So what you got to do is you got to hang in there and keep ministering to your sheep. So if you're ministering to people, if that's what you're here, I think my Wednesday night crowd, we're pretty a tight target here. It should be the core of our church. You have a leadership. Just by showing up here, you're part of the leadership because you show up most of the time. Stop wearing out people. If you don't love them, leave them. If you do love them, get all the way in with them. The good, bad, and ugly. Amen? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because the only way the ugly is getting any better is if you help it. Whew. Y'all ready? Y'all like this? Can I give y'all just a little bit more? I will then. No answer's a yes to me. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children. This is verse 3. Because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. Golly, what they hated Joseph. You know why they hated him? They were jealous of the blessing and the anointing on his life. The thing that you're good at because God wants you to be good at it can actually be a curse or seem like a curse in the beginning. The thing that you think, man, God's blessed me, this is awesome. Not everybody's excited, especially the people that it's not for. Can I go a little bit deeper? Sometimes we get messed up with the people we think it's for. How many of you thought you were going to win your whole family to the Lord?
I did. I said, man, I can't wait to go home and tell everybody in my family that I got Jesus.
Amen.
That went over like a lead balloon. Who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? I'm saved, and you can be saved too. Yeah, but I know what you did a year ago, and you still owe me some money that you took from me, and you lied to me back then, and remember when you didn't pay me, and you're like, oh, gosh. Gosh. I thought this was going to be the easy crowd. Amen? You know who the easy crowd are? People that you don't even know.
Total strangers that you don't even know. And it sometimes takes the people you thought it was going to be easy to and easy for to push you down the road. Can I drop some knowledge on you real quick on this? Because it's good. How many of you in this room thought that Joseph actually had a jacket on? A coat of many colors. Just a jacket that his dad had made. And it looked like a rainbow. That's not true. It's a tunic. Okay, I ain't trying to get you or get you wrong. It's just the wear of that nation of that time were tunics. Amen? And I want you to understand this. They wore shirts and jackets like this. This is middle eastern country. They wore a full-on tunic. But his was special. When you get into the study of the colors and the things like that, that's one thing. But his had long sleeves, and it was a little bit longer, and it had skirts attached to it. No, now see, there you went again. You just went skirts. Some of you men are like, I ain't wearing it. We're not in the Middle Eastern country. This is a tunic. I've been in the Middle East. I've walked amongst these people. They wear full-on body tunics. Alright? His had long sleeves. It was longer, and it had skirts attached to it. When you see him coming, you would say without a shadow of a doubt, here comes the one who will inherit his father's fortune or his stuff. He was younger. His older brothers had tunics that were shorter and had shorter sleeves where they could work. Never mind. Have you figured out why they're ticked off yet? They got the wrong tunic. They're working, and they're going to be subservient to their younger brother who came after them, but it's always a type and shadow of Christ. Adam came, then Jesus came. The younger would be served by the older. Amen. Y'all good? I'm preaching. I'm giving as much as I got. I'm just telling you, when he walked up,
every single time he walked into their presence, it said to them, I'm greater than you.
Because the Father said so. The problem is, can I teach a little bit more here? Because I want you to get this. Because I ain't got a whole lot more past this in this part. But I want you to get this. If you got a problem with other people in the family of Christ, go to the Father. Never mind.
I try not to look at anybody when y'all don't think I'm talking to y'all. But they were mad at Joseph. What had Joseph done? He's not doing anything. He's doing the God thing. He's a dreamer. And he told them the dream, and people, I've heard preachers my whole life, he should have never shared that with him. Well, if he had never shared that, then how would we have known it came to earth? If he had never shared it, it would have not caused the events that caused him to go to the if he had just kept his mouth shut and took his coat off, he might still be hanging out with Joseph or with Jacob and the boys. Amen? But he told the dream. And he told the second dream. And his brother said, we'll kill him. But instead, this is what we do. This is who we are as human beings. We don't go to the source. We get mad at the people who are doing what we want to do or we think we want to do.
That takes maturity. That what I just told you right there will take maturity on a high level as being a mature Christian to do that. Not to compare yourself to another human being and what they're doing for God. It would take you going to God and saying, God, let me do what you want me to do. I don't want to wear my brother and sister out because they're doing stuff that I think I want to do. You know why I keep saying that part, right? You know why I keep saying that think part? Because I thought I wanted to do some stuff until I got to get behind the scenes and do it. And I said, I don't want no part of that. Man, have you ever wanted to do something in a spiritual realm or a spiritual aspect only to find out if you got in that would be the most miserable thing in your life? When I first wanted to get into ministry, it seemed like it was like every day I would talk to the person that was in charge of the ministry, and he'd say, it ain't going to be long, God's going to bring you in here. But then the next day they'd hire somebody else. And, you know, they'd hire them as bread truck drivers, and they'd hire them as a attendant over in a store, or they'd hire them, and I'm sort of going, you say you want me in this ministry, but you won't hire me. Number one, God wasn't ready for me to be in that ministry. He was still working some stuff out in me at Shaw. Some stuff that had to get out of me, that he couldn't get out of me in ministry, because if he'd got me in ministry, I'd have been out of ministry really quickly. Just being honest. Man, I was still a Christian, but I had some rough edges. No, y'all can't handle that kind of stuff. But when it was my time, the job opened up, the position opened up that was perfect for me. And now I look back at all the times looking at other people doing the jobs that they got hired in, and I'd come in, I was like, oh, thank God I didn't get that. Amen? Are y'all good? Y'all understand that? All right, let's jump over. Let's get to the verses. I gave y'all enough of that. I didn't want to preach all of Joseph, and I know y'all don't want to hear it all on Wednesday night, because we're going to preach a little bit more of this on Sunday. Genesis 37:27. And we're still remembering that it was good for me to be afflicted. Y'all remember that? Do y'all remember 1:19:71? It was good for me to be afflicted, right? I want y'all to get with me to Genesis 37:27-28. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. It's better than that other outcome, right? Do y'all know what the other outcome was? They were going to kill him. See how God was working it? Yeah, y'all see it. Then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Y'all see it? Is he being afflicted? And y'all. 17 years old, right? Remember? 17? What would you think if you're 17 years old inside of the pit? And all your brothers stand up and all they were talking about. I want you to hear this. Not some people who broke in, not somebody who come out of nowhere, but his family.
Amen.
Ain't it amazing?
Yeah.
Ain't it amazing? Little still from me. You saw me. You just know for me. I thought it was somebody else. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm the only person trying to help you. Anybody else here trying to help minister? Y'all with me? And he's been out. He's sitting in the pit. He's been living. They're up there trying to kill him. Then at 17 years old, they drag him out of the pit and they chain him up with some Ishmaelites. You know that? That's Ishmael. That's Abraham's
those booklets that the Atonement Service and they're taught, you know, you're not speaking the same language. Your mom's not there, your dad's not there, nobody's helping you. You know, the anger might build up. You think you must have been by ever getting my hands on you. You ever been mad, hurt, and all wrapped up at the same time? You don't even know which one to do. You go to hit somebody who's crying instead.
But you know, that's the end of it, right? Nope.
lie with me.
17 years old.
Yeah,
17. Oh, I only hold you now. You don't get to see another glimpse of why God used me.
And we'll see a glimpse of why God will use you. You look around, and there ain't nobody there that can hold you accountable. You look unto God. He said, if I sin, I'll sin before God, but I'll sin before God.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to live my life in front of you. I'm trying to live my life in front of God.
Amen.
If I live my life in front of God, then I ain't got to worry about you.
Right.
I ain't got to worry about you. If I do that, I'll be all right with you. Or maybe I won't, but I'll still be all right with you. Are y'all getting that? Who's facing God? He turns and he runs. And the only thing she can do is grab the back of his coat and he's out there. All she had was coat. This man lost more coats
than middle school.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
When middle school, when you go down there, the lost and found in the middle school, there's that fortune of jackets we lost.
That's Joseph. He loses just God's taking off of him what was tender. And he goes, because God, he's got to take it down to change. He's got to humble. Amen?
Listen, you'll look at it and you'll say, this is the worst. You know, sometimes you look and you go, I remember when.
And then you look back and I go, you remember, wait a minute. When I was going down, when I didn't think I had a whole lot, and when everybody said that was a tough place, do you remember how close to God you were in? Yeah?
There's times in my life that somebody talks about, I said, when I first started out, I can only get 3 or 4 people to show up to a meeting and preach to them.
Oh, God, man, I tell you, some of the people we had, 3 or 4 people,
hey,
you want to run across the pews, throwing stuff, sweating, walking out there, just covered in sweat. Get up the next morning, lay on the floor, just praying and seeking God early in the morning. Listen, that's when Paul Peter cut up. We didn't have no money. We didn't have a whole lot of food. We said, not we had a whole lot of God.
Amen.
Can I go back to the now? Was there a liquid? Good. Trust me. Huh? You get a liquid. Start running out of yourself and running out of all your extra. Start looking at God.
I started thinking about Joseph as I was studying this verse, and I started thinking, man, what a man at the end of his life. And y'all hear this verse again Sunday, probably, because there's going to be some times in your life you're going to have to say this: what you meant for evil. Huh? What you meant for evil. Somebody's going to do some stuff to you on purpose to mess you over. And God knows about it. And God's going to let it happen. God meant for good. Huh? Huh? Can we roll back out? Let's all stand up as they come get a song of invitation. Can I roll back out real quick with y'all? Like you know, when you're looking at a microscope or something, and if you roll back and you can see, we got all the way down in the fibers of this story, did we not? Yes. I'm going to preach 30 more minutes. Did we get all the way down into the fibers? Let's roll back out. Can we roll back out? When Jesus came, he was very recognizable. He was the Son of God. Amen? The people that should have received him rejected him. Does that sound like Joseph? He was his father's favorite. He was very recognizable as his father's favorite. He was sold into slavery, not for 30 pieces of silver, but 20. He went down to a people that were not him, not his people. God.
Amen.
and he went all the way down into the prisons. Remember when he was down there with Barnabas or Barabbas and the boys? He went all the way down into the prisons, but then he came out after the death, burial, and resurrection. Would it sound something like this? To save many alive? That's what Joseph told his brothers. What you meant for evil, God has meant for good, to save many people alive. Even you. You ain't gonna believe this, but some of the people that try to hurt you and reject you and do things to you, guess what? You're gonna be a help and a salvation to them. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? That's who Joseph is. You got to remember this. The only way he got to see how sovereign, how awesome God was, is he had to be afflicted. So if you're not in affliction, you've been in one, you know this to be true. If you've never been afflicted, you're going to go through one, or two, or three, or ten. But you'll know the sovereignty of God, because in the midst of it, you'll see Him.